I hate to see it come to an end because these lessons have been so full of information for us and things that we need to pull out for ourselves. And hopefully the wrap-up lesson that we'll have on the last day over in the gym will I'll try to cover those things. It's just a lot of 20 lessons doesn't seem like too much, but Paul did so much, and so did Peter before him. So anyway, it'll be a fun time, and then during the summer I'm planning to look at the subject of heaven. God has been so good to let me continue, and I don't know what's going on inside, but my oncologist keeps my blood tested, so things are cruising along. And next year I hope to do either heaven or Romans. I've done Romans before. It's probably the most important New Testament book, and I thought it'd be kind of interesting after following the life of Paul to go into something that he wrote, such as Romans. But heaven still intrigues me because I don't know much about it. There's some gal apparently on television now that says she's been there many times. And she'll tell you all about it. Those are the kind of people you don't want to listen to. So, Father, again, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you for Paul's life, Lord. What a gracious man he was. How gracious he was in working with those that so opposed him, that were bound and determined to have nothing to do with God. And yet he worked with them. He never criticized them. And Lord, we're so quick in our humanness to criticize others. And help us to learn to love people like Paul did and see people as lost, that need a hand, that need you, Lord, in the center of their lives. We don't have anything if we don't have you. So teach us now, Lord. Be our teacher and our guide, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my hardest part is trying to keep the right chapter, and you found that out in the second page on the lesson. If you took it from this chapter, it said one thing. If you took it from the next chapter, it said something else. Well, I'll try to straighten that out. That's straightening me out. Well, we can ask the question, was Paul justified in appealing to Caesar? And you say, well, you can't say that. You can't ask the scripture questions. And I said, well, that's how I learn. So I look at that question and I say, was Paul justified in appealing to Caesar? So if you go into your lesson with that in the back of your mind, then you begin to look for answers. And shouldn't he have committed his cause entirely to God, that he's going to appear before Caesar and just refuse to stoop to depending on earthly intervention? It's an interesting question, because there's people that you will meet who say that all they have to do is let God take care of it. And when God is knocking on their door, they don't open it because they feel God's going to take care of it, and they miss the whole blessing. Well, if Paul would have agreed to go to Jerusalem, he never would have reached Jerusalem alive. He therefore refused by stating that the court in Caesarea was good for him because it was a Roman Empire thing. It was a Roman government thing that they were accusing him of. And there was two places that you could go to trial. That would be either Jerusalem or Caesarea. So he was very wise in saying, let's just stay here in Caesarea. If he had committed a crime against the Roman Empire, and he was willing to stand trial. Paul took full advantage of his Roman citizenship. And I would really like to know. I suppose when we get to heaven, these things won't be important, but I'd like to know how his father, being a Jew and a Pharisee, would receive a Roman citizenship. It's very interesting. He must have done something very significant for the empire. And he was awarded that, and of course his offspring. However, we know on this side that God needed Paul to be a Roman citizen so he could bail him out of things. And I really like that. But his appealing to Caesar didn't set him free. In fact, it locked him up. So we can come back to this question, was Paul justified in appealing to Caesar? And my question, of course, is, what do you think? Maybe being set free wasn't the most important thing to Paul. Maybe it was being a witness to others was more important. Maybe he thought back when he was in prison, remembering there was an earthquake and all the prisoners, and Paul too, stayed in their jail cells. Now, I would have been the first one out saying, look what God did. And I would have been running down the street saying, I'm free, I'm free. But see, there's something much bigger to Paul. And if he were put in prison and God didn't want him there, guess what? God'd get him out. He knew that from personal experience. And you know, if it wasn't going to be appealing to Caesar here, God would get him to Rome some other way. And off to Rome he would go. That's next week's lesson. Does Paul make it? Well, you have to tune in and find out. So, Festus conferred with his legal advisors concerning the procedure in such matters. You appealed, you shall go. So it took the judgment thing right out of Festus's hands and took him to the Roman seat of government. And I think Festus was pretty happy about that. He wouldn't have to judge Paul anymore. But they're going to play some games with him, aren't they? It's entertainment. I was thinking of how, remember when Jesus stood before Herod, and Herod was anxious to see Jesus because he could do some trick or he'd heal somebody. And Jesus didn't say a word to Herod. He had had all the light that he was ever going to have. That's very sobering to think about. Anyway, it's a very similar situation here. So, sometime after this, King Herod Agrippa II and his sister and consort, Bernice, came to Caesarea to congratulate Festus on his new appointment. Actually, Festus was a better person than Felix. Agrippa was the son of Herod Agrippa I, who murdered James and imprisoned Peter. And you know that Herod is the one that, the great, was the one that killed off the Bethlehem babies. And they were really evil people. It's an interesting study if you want to do that sometime, is to get into the Herods and read up on their history. Now, his sister was a woman of unusual beauty. Historians say very unsavory things about her, her reputation. Apparently, she regularly had relations with her brother. If you saw the movie Gladiator, that played a big part in that movie. And it was really, really frowned upon by the Jews. In fact, in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 are two places where you are not to have sex relations with your sibling, your brother or your sister. And the Jews were just death on that. death on a lot of things that are going on today. So, well, Festus was a better man than his predecessor because he took up the duties with the intention of doing what was right. But he soon discovered that the Jewish politics weren't as easy to handle as he had thought, and especially this two-year-old case of Apostle Paul and a prisoner, and with no official charges against him. It's interesting how when you're reading these two chapters, this is why it's so easy to get them confused, is that there was no one to stand up and accuse him. Oh, now I've lost the verse. Here it is, about 15, this would be 25:15, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem asking for a judgment against him. They had nothing to accuse him of. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against Paul of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion. Isn't that interesting? They're just so hopping mad. And I was thinking about that. They got so angry that they wanted to kill off Paul. And I thought, what stirred him up so badly? And then we remember the old serpent, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. And he stirs, and he wants confusion, and he wants them to take out Paul. Boy, does he want them to take out Paul. And so there was no official charges against him. They just wanted to kill him. So he was a... and the hard part for Festus is he didn't know what to do with him because they wouldn't bring an accusation against him, and the Romans didn't have an accusation against him, but he's in prison. So if he lets them out, Jews will get really even more angry. But if he keeps him in prison, then he doesn't have anything formal to give to Caesar. So it's he's in a real quandary. He would have to explain why he had kept him in prison for almost 3 years. And of course, these chapters present Festus in three different situations, each related to the Apostle Paul. It's not likely that the new governor knew anything about the original plot or even suspected that the Jewish religious leaders were out for blood. You know, another word about Bernice, it's knowing myself, I would have been talking about her a lot. But I don't know, sometimes it's what's missing. It's the message that God's trying to get through to us. And I think Bernice needed the Lord every bit as much as any of them did. And Paul never brought an accusation against them. It was the historians that did that, not Paul. And that really has, I've been chewing on that all week. I think how much more loving we need to be and not judgmental. And how easy it is for you and I to fall into that trap of talking about the unseen side of what people are doing. It's depressing, though. Seems like everybody's into something. So, well, kill Bill. Kill Bill. I knew I was going to say that. Kill Paul. Kill Paul was the cry of the unbelieving Jews. Now, I was in a discussion group a little while ago, and there's a little bit of confusion here. We all in here are Gentiles. At least I'm pretty sure no one in here is a Jew. We did have a Jew in our class for a while, several years until she moved to LA. So she was kind of fun to have around. She didn't know anything about her Old Testament, which was real fun. But if you were a believer back in Paul's day, your chances were you were a Jew who had accepted the Lord, a completed Jew. And that's different. And back in when they first started, people started being converted, where did they go on Sunday? Or where did they go to worship? They went to the synagogue. So here, Paul, he's on a murderer's kick to get rid of all these Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor. He would go right into the synagogue and pull these people out and imprison them. And of course, he's telling Festus and Bernice and these others this is what he was doing. And of course, Festus had put him in a position to talk more so that he would find something to pin on him. But he couldn't find anything, because Paul knew his destination was Rome. So he appealed to Rome. I'm sure that must have really infuriated the Jews, because they were waiting on the road to ambush him. Would he have had a fair trial? And I've been chewing on that this week. Would Paul have had a fair trial staying where he was? I don't know. Who's going to try him? Nero. You ever heard anything about Nero? Sometimes we complain because our government seems to be going in one direction and we wonder why. But I can't imagine being tried by Nero. He is the one that would dip Christians alive in tar and then light them for his garden parties. So how much of a fair trial will he have in front of Nero? I don't know. But anyway, by his appealing to Caesar, it took Paul right out of the Jewish hands as well as those in Caesarea. Well, it seems kind of incredible that all this fuss and ceremony was because of one little Jewish man who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Lord had promised him he would stand before Gentiles and before kings. And when he's standing before these people, I don't know where you want to put King Agrippa. He has a lot of power, but what Paul has to say grips them all. he tells them how he lived a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, and he had great convictions about the resurrection and the hope of Israel. Now he was a prisoner. Paul was not only a Pharisee, but also a zealous persecutor of the church. And isn't it amazing the people that God uses? And you think, wow, it's wonderful. You ever thought about what you might ask Paul when you get to heaven? What do you think you might say to him? I think, thanks a lot, Paul. You did a good job. So he was trying to kill off all the Christians. You and I can just freely go to church or leave church or not go or whatever. And in that day, you were putting your life on the line. He had religious zeal, but he was doing it himself. It was his own zeal. And it was... But in his older years, what were they saying about Paul? I love it, because in chapter 26, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." And that shut him up pretty quick. But if you took your answer for that question out of the chapter before, they all wanted to hear more. Why did they want to hear more? I think it's just like Herod did with Jesus, just for entertainment's sake. But now he's kind of touching on their toes where they live. Well, you can imagine living with your brother. The other one represents Rome. I can see why he'd yell out, much learning is driving you mad. I'm waiting for my husband to say that. Although I think he thinks I was crazy before I started, so. Anyway, someone had put in a question last week of, was Paul a member of the Sanhedrin? And I had to call the boss, my son who graduated from seminary, and he reads through the New Testament in Greek, so he said there's no place there for it. However, if he had continued being a Pharisee of Pharisees, he undoubtedly would have become a member of the Sanhedrin. But he was too young when Paul started out on his journeys. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I think that's what he wanted. Well, he had all this religious zeal, and he was breathing out threatenings. I came across this in Utmost for His Highest, and it really convicted me, so I have to read it to you. This is having to do with his testimony, and the Lord said, excuse me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Am I set on my own way for God? We are never free from this snare until we are brought into the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Obstinacy, self-will, will always stab Jesus Christ. It may hurt no one else, but it wounds his spirit. Whenever we are obstinate and self-willed and set upon our own ambitions, we are hurting Jesus. Every time we stand on our own rights and insist that this is what we intend to do, we are persecuting Jesus. Whenever we stand on our dignity, we systematically vex and grieve his spirit. And when the knowledge comes home that it is Jesus whom we have been persecuting all this time, it is the most crushing revelation there could be. That was totally new thought to me. How easy it is for you and someone asks, you know, would you teach a Sunday school class? And you don't take time to pray for it. You just say, okay, or whatever. And you're not seeking out God's best. He may want you someplace else. It's always best to tune in with the Lord. Well, he had certain things that happened, didn't he? He saw a light, and the light was so bright. It's kind of like those lights up there that he became blind. Paul, for 3 days. And being the good guy that he was, he sat around and said, poor me. No. You know, Paul, on those 3 days of being so blind, praised God. All he did was pray. And I thought, how opposite of me he is. If I went blind like that, I'd be whining and complaining. Well, that's why the Lord can't trust me like he can Paul. Anyway, then he heard a voice, and everybody else heard that same voice, but they didn't know what it said, and everyone fell to their knees. It was powerful, the words. Oh, my. Paul learned Jesus Christ was alive, and he was united to his people even in their suffering. I remember saying a while ago, and it's so true, maybe this is why God allows us to suffer, is because he's the great comforter, and he wants to comfort us. And sometimes we miss that. He invites us into his presence to be comforted. Well, God spoke to Paul, and no doubt it was a surprise to Paul after his conversion to hear that the Lord was sending Paul to the Gentiles. Oh, see, now I would have complained there. I don't want to go to the Gentiles. But that was where God was sending him. And because Paul would have lived and died for his own people. That's how close to his heart they were. And he wanted to witness to them, and he does. But initially he is told by the Lord that he's to go to the Gentiles. Well, in spite of repeated discouragement and dangers, Paul had remained obedient to the call. I think, wow, isn't that amazing? You and I, wow, we can be obedient for a day or two, or maybe a week, but for a life, live for the Lord in obedience. Wow, nothing moved Paul. He obeyed immediately. Paul said, I continue unto this day. Imagine all of his life, he was obedient to the Lord's sending. And what did he use? He just used the Old Testament. Would you be able to lead anyone to the Lord through the Old Testament? If you've been with me a few years, you should be able to. Certainly Isaiah 53 would be a great place to start, and there's so many other places. Think about that sometime. If you didn't have the New Testament, what would you do to lead someone to Christ? It's a good challenge. Well, he carries on the challenge here before Paul gets a ship or a boat to Rome, and the words here are so wonderful. He tells them that Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made this defense, Festus said in a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. See, this is where I'd lose it too, I'd probably say. I'm not mad. Sit down and listen. Not Paul. He's so gentle. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And Paul says, I know that you believe. But see, if he believed the prophets, he would believe Deuteronomy, where it says this one is coming, the Messiah. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Oh, doing Paul a favor. Good gravy. So he's left out. And Paul said, I would be to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Oh, Lord, may we learn something from this, that freedom isn't exactly everything that we think it is, that doing your will is where the real freedom is. And who is really under arrest here is these Roman leaders and also the Jewish leaders denying who you are, pushing you out, having nothing to do with you. Eternity is a long, long time. And how we, along with Paul, grieve for these people who say no to you. And we pray for those that are in our families, Lord, that haven't said yes yet, that you might stir their hearts, that you might bring situations into their lives that they have to be forced to look at salvation, that be forced to look at the gospel, be forced to make a decision. Lord, help us as parents, as friends, as sisters, to be on our knees praying for them. Lord, we thank you for how you're meeting needs here in this group for the answers to prayer. We thank you for how you're meeting Bobby's needs, Lord, and we praise you for that, and for how you're meeting Kate's needs with the death of her brother. Lord, it's a hard, hard things to get over, and yet all of us are going in that direction. I pray that everyone here might be ready to meet you face to face. And if they haven't done that, that today would be the day where they confess their sins before you and be known to be cleansed and filled with your Spirit, Lord, to do the job that you want them to do. And for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.